Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
He's about to get the Tatum treatment, where people expect a lot from a third overall pick and perhaps a franchise savior type player. And is he ready for it? Is he ready to be called out? Is he ready for people to slip out about four picks at an OTA? Because he's not Mac Jones and he's not Joe Milton. He's the third overall pick and everybody has thrown bouquets and sung hosannas and hallelujahs since he got here. And they want to return on the potential. So that, I think, is very interesting to watch unfold.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That was Tom E. Curran last week on WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in on a Tom E. Tuesday momentarily. It's also a Tier Tuesday. We tiered off all the cookout foods. You can see those at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We got a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for that. And two more opportunities here on this show to win tickets to the Red Sox and Angels as part of a Two for Tuesday. Your next chance comes less than a half an hour from now. You'll have chances on WEEI Afternoons as well. So stay tuned for it all day long here on WEEI. Joining us now, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. What's up, Tommy Curran?
I would say pasta salad is something that should be included, and loaded baked potato salad should also be included in the barbecues. I know people are going to be very grill-focused, and I don't blame them because I am too. But I'd like to talk about a couple of those sides too when we start to tear those out.
Okay. Well, talk away. I think we had pasta. Well, we had pasta salad.
We
had
pasta salad. We had like right below Burgers, Dogs, Beer. So yep. We did have that pretty high.
We didn't have a loaded potato salad.
No.
You know what?
Standard.
And I say if we're going to have an active barbecue, you know, we're going to be the kids doing the hacky sack, and my kids are always whipping dice up in the air and waiting for them to bounce off the table, and there's drinking involved. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want the loaded baked potato salad.
Right.
You don't want too many carbs. You want to keep it a little bit lighter.
Oh,
but
I see.
If it's a more laconic type of barbecue, then you'd want that in there. But I would say pork butt or whatever the burnt ends.
Ooh, burnt ends.
Ooh, burnt
sure,
ends.
Sure, wow.
Sure.
This is not a laconic barbecue whatsoever.
If you get somebody who's handy behind the grill and they can do you some burnt ends and with a little flamethrower.
Nice. What are you putting on the dog there, Curran?
I'm going to go ketchup and mustard. Nice. I'm going to have a lot of them, too. And I might not even go bun. I'll just take them straight.
just suck it right down.
Onto the football. Nice. Inevitably, yes. Something had to go wrong.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of the football, what are your early impressions of Efton Chisholm III and some of the excitement for an undrafted rookie wide receiver?
Is he Braxton Berrios? Or is he Danny Amendola? Or is he Julian Edelman?
Hmm.
He is quick. He is quick in a phone booth type player. Does not have what you will look at as, you know, what Edelman had, which was long speed that I've seen yet. I mean, the poor fellow's only, you know, been out there one day for me to observe. But he doesn't have that long speed. But, you know, Braxton Berrios was not a bad player. He continues to not be a bad player in the National Football League. So if he can be something like that, that would be great. I'm interested to see what he can lend because, to me, and we're going to talk about this on Early Edition this evening, is DeMario Douglas a player who's going to be featured in this offense? I believe he will be. I believe he'll have every opportunity to be a 100-120 look guy, meaning see the ball coming to him, whether it be through targets or runs over the course of 16 games, a lot. So can he hold up at 175, 180 pounds? And if he doesn't, who do you have for depth behind him who can step into that water bug underneath role? And I would think that Chisholm would be the next guy there that you would look at as really quick. I think Kyle Williams, the rookie, does certainly look like more of an X than an inside guy, even though he's a little smaller. But I think that's going to be fun to watch unfold because we actually have familiarity with what Josh McDaniels likes to do and we understand what the roles are in the offense because we've seen them for so long. So we can say, is this guy going to be that guy? And there's a direct comp.
What should we expect for a timetable for Steph Diggs? And more specifically, is week one in your mind from what you're hearing anyway in play?
And I'm only basically going on what we've observed from Diggs himself and the indications that he's given and his trainer has given. I would say it's probably tentatively in play, I would say. And do not cut this. Put this out there. Curran says.
Put it up there. Good.
I am just basing this totally on Steph Diggs. I haven't spoken to anybody because I don't think availability for week one right now is something that's on the table for anybody looking at things. It's how is he, will he be available and in what capacity for any of training camp? And then if he can't do training camp, then is that doing him a disservice by putting him on the field in week one? So to me, I'd be optimistic, but I'd be guessing if I said that I thought he would be out there week one.
What kind of like leader and teammate do you think Drake May is and will be? Because I feel like, you know, we talk a lot about on-the-field stuff, and with these quarterbacks, there's been such a wide range post-Tom Brady of like on-field success, but just how they're viewed in the locker room, that's obviously a position that sort of is forced into being a leader.
Yeah.
And so whether it was Cam or Mac or Bailey Zappe or Brissett or whatever else, how do you see Drake May filling those shoes?
I think he's very, very well respected and liked because he is such a regular guy. There's no pretense to him. There's no prettiness to him. There's a grittiness to him, a nice rhyme there. To me, I think that his upbringing as having grown up in an athletic family with a dad who played professional football and high-level college football, brothers who played, he just understands the dynamic of a locker room and a group male atmosphere, for lack of a better word, that has that dynamic to it. So I think that he's excellent in that capacity. What I'll be interested to see is when you looked at Brady or Bledsoe, they were standard bearers for being able to carry the message of the team to the media in different ways. I'll never forget Brady in 2005. After Marty Schottenheimer said in the post game after a San Diego Chargers win over the Patriots, "Hey man, they've got so many injuries over there. At some point, it has to break." And that was a team the Patriots had just won two consecutive Super Bowls. It was kind of innocuous. Brady got to the podium on that Wednesday and he said, "He shouldn't talk about our team. The nerve of him to talk about our team. We're fine. We don't need sympathy." And I'm paraphrasing. "We don't need the sympathy from Marty Schottenheimer or excuses made for us." It was amazing, and it was interesting to see. How will Drake May embrace that kind of messaging? How will he embrace being the person who is not just the megaphone for whatever message Vrabel is sending, but also a megaphone for how he wants his locker room to approach things? You know, nowadays, I think that especially with the adversity the Patriots locker room felt last year and the scrutiny that it felt, they felt victimized, villainized, persecuted by the media. And I don't know how May felt about it, but he's going to have to deal with us on a regular basis, week in and week out. Is he going to be prickly? Is he going to be eye-rolly? Is he going to be able to rise above it the way Brady would or Bledsoe would, who were amazing at the podium? So that remains to be seen. There's different types of leadership in the locker room. He's going to be beloved. He's just that kind of kid, I think. But how will he be in sending forth the message of the team when it's being persecuted and beaten up?
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We certainly dabbled in the discussion last week of the four interceptions for Drake May. What did you think of the discussion that kind of took on a life of its own with Drake May heading into year two with all the picks? What'd you think from afar of the conversation?
Just really interesting in that, you know, some people were excusing of, hey, four picks, who cares, you know, whatever. But I think more people were embracing of the notion that you can't, if you're going to have a practice well. I don't think he got killed. I don't think it was extreme. I don't think that it, honestly, Jonesy, I don't think that there was as ridiculous an outcry and panic that as the practice was unfolding, I thought might exist. I thought it was much more measured a response on your shows, on the other station shows, on our shows, that lent a little bit of, you know, what's the word there? It was dignified ain't the right word, but it's something like
yeah,
that.
That's not us. Dignified.
Measured in their response.
Yeah. Measured. There you go.
But it opened up the conversation that needs to be had, which you guys let in with that sound. He's going to get crap for a four-pick OTA in May. Don't be a baby about it. Say, you know, don't say, well, you know, he's going to be all over me. It's very much a Tatum. I like that. Do you guys agree with that? It's a Tatum scrutiny. Tatum has everything scrutinized and has had it for several years now. And it's probably wearying. And May is about to get it probably even more intensely than Tatum.
Well, yeah, probably. I think it's football lends to that. And also just the state of the other teams right now. It's like suddenly after back-to-back four-win seasons with all the changes that they've made combined with the Red Sox right now stink, the Bruins are terrible, and Tatum's out for the year. It seems like all eyes are certainly not only back on the Patriots, but like the expectation for the team has now been elevated higher than maybe it should be.
And I think that's really interesting because, you know, Benjamin Solak, who works at ESPN, he's a writer. I think he's fun, good writer, does a lot of analytics. He said something today or on a podcast that was retweeted by Savage Sports, who does a lot of cataloging. What the hell is that
aggravating.
Word?
Aggregating. Aggravating or aggregating, yes.
Did you say aggravating?
Yeah.
But Benjamin Solak kind of drew the parallel to saying that, boy, could Drake May be better than Jaden Daniels this year? Because when you look at what he accomplished and the adversity that he faced, it was astounding what Drake May accomplished. And that's the way the conversation is going to head this year. You know, dark horse MVP candidate, 8-1 odds, Drake May. It's going to be there. And how will he play with a much more structured offense with constraints? Because in chaos, he would flourish, whether it be on scrambles, moving around and completing balls. And also the expectations were low in that if you throw a pick at the end of a game in which you have an opportunity to win, people are like, oh, well, he's 21. He's just trying to make a play. Team stinks. Who cares? It's going to be totally different this year. So how does he play with the structure, the expectation, the coaching expectation? So I think that's a really interesting thing to watch unfold for him as well. Is it's not just the expectations, it's the expectation that he improves. It's the expectation that he'd be unbelievable. He's just going to be a dark horse darling candidate for massive improvement.
Tom, pretty much every week we ask you about the ongoing Bill Belichick saga. The latest, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, really does characterize Bill as distracted at the tail end of his tenure in New England, red pants at training camp, hotel rooms leading up to games, never mind trosing around on ring cam videos, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think Bill was distracted in 2023?
I don't think it had the same intensity of attention that Bill Belichick from 2000 through 2019 had. No. So the level of attention to detail probably was not the same. So I would distracted to you and me. I mean, I'm a distracted guy. Probably wasn't to that level. But no, his level of intensity was not the same. And I think that was borne out in the drafting, the free agent signings, the coaching and succession plans, the easy outs in terms of hiring for whether it be offensive coordinator or scouting or whatever. I think Bill very much got to a point where when he articulated that, what do you think? Why should fans have an expectation of success this year opposed to him by Mike Reese at the 2023 owners meetings? And Bill said the last 25 years, there was very much a kind of resting on his laurels and his reputation. And well, what's the worst that can happen here? I'm Bill Belichick.
So, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be one and done in North Carolina. I know some are speculating whether he even makes it to the season. There's like a buyout coming up on June 1st, or there's a potential there. I think he coaches this season.
Right.
Yeah, it's coming up. I think it's one and done. Do you have any prediction on how long he lasts with North Carolina?
I would tend to agree with you, but it would be percentage type things. What's the likelihood? I mean, are they going to be good? I just don't think they're going to, and what do I know about ACC friggin' football? But I just don't think that they're going to be, you know, landmark improvement, because they're a totally different kind of player that you're dealing with. I mean, these are kids who were just getting off a bus last year, some of them, to go to school. They're not adults. So how is that going to go? I would imagine it probably is more likely one and done than a five-year tenure.
All right. He's Tommy Curran every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons. It's Tommy Tuesday with us. Check him out on Early Edition tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Tom, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right. Tommy Curran joining us here every Tuesday high noon on Jones and Keefe. The Benjamin Solak thing. I read this morning.
There's a lot in there.
It's like 100.
It's a lengthy piece.
Is that what it is? Like 100 items on 100 days until training camp or something like that?
Yeah,
the start
days,
of the regular season.
Things to know and predictions.
Okay, thank you. He says, here's something I struggle to put into words. He said, Jaden Daniels had a historically productive rookie quarterback season. The Commanders fan base and team brass should feel confident and inspired about the future of the position. However, I'm still as, if not more, impressed by how well Drake May played on that terrible Patriots offense last season. Statistically, he didn't hold a candle, but degree of difficulty, May was playing a completely different sport. I'll put it this way and hope that Metropolitan D.C. doesn't come from my head. Patriots fans should feel as confident and inspired about their future at quarterback as Commanders fans do right now. Your thoughts on that, Keith?
I mean, I'm not as optimistic. Obviously, I like Drake May. I like the improvements that they have made. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think Jaden Daniels hit the ground running, was surrounded by better pieces. And even in real time, we weren't really sure about that. But just Terry McLaurin, Cliff Kingsbury was like a better setup for him.
Right, but I agree. Drake May had a much higher degree of difficulty nothing around him. Let's not pretend like Jaden Daniels had a ton around
That's
him.
That's what I'm
either.
Saying. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I agree.
All right, the corpse of Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz, he got something out of. And Terry McLaurin, still better than anything that the Patriots currently have.
For sure.
But that was a 4-win team, and he really turned them around. Like we talk about certain quarterbacks, when you watch the offense play, you're like, all right, this guy's good, but he's not the best player on their offense. Drake May is going to have to be the best player, just like Jaden Daniels was the best player on the Commanders' offense. So, I mean, if he has a season like Jaden Daniels, I'll be thrilled.
Same.
Yeah.
And I just, Jaden Daniels was so good. And I preferred Drake May in the draft to Jaden Daniels. And I still feel very good about Drake May. I mean, that to me is a bridge too far, but it's interesting from Benjamin Solak, highlighted by Tommy Curran here today on Jones and Keefe. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY, get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Use the rewind feature. You can hear the full interview as well as the full show here on WEEI. We'll get back to your phone calls. We got a key for madness at 12:45, so stay tuned for it. And more Red Sox thoughts. Season feels like it's already trending towards being over, but there are still games to go see at Fenway Park if you want to go see the Red Sox and Angels on June 3rd. Another opportunity to do so on Two for Tuesday, right after Trending with Billy Lanny.